people.
It's Friday, November 2nd, 2012, and this is Primetime Sports, Canada's most listened to sports talk presentation on the Fan Radio Network Coast to Coast and on Sportsnet at High Definition. I'm Bob McCowan, along with John Shannon to my left, Elliot Friedman to my far right, and Michael Grange to my immediate right. For those of you just joining us along the network, many of you will have this information already. It will be pertinent to some, interesting to all, I would think. The New York Marathon has indeed been canceled. A change of position by Mayor Bloomberg's office in New York, and they've decided not to run the race in the face of protestations from literally every corner of both the city, the country, and perhaps even around the world. Again, the New York Marathon will not be held this weekend. Many items to address on this very busy Friday and busy week. Among the other announcements made, that the Winter Classic would not take place this year. Although I think it's safe to say, gentlemen, that there was no anticipation that it was going to take place leading up to the announcement today. Although there were reports earlier today, Elliot, that in fact the NHL might in fact not make that announcement today.
I was surprised. I woke up this morning and saw the story that said that they might wait until November 15th. But I was surprised at that just because it was counter to everything I'd heard, and I don't think anybody is stunned at all by today. I think there's a few reasons, but I really think that one of the major reasons is that I think the Red Wings just wanted the Red Wings have grandiose plans for this, Bob. They want this to be the most spectacular Winter Classic ever. Two different locales, two alumni games, all those, the junior game, the college game. I just think they looked at the stench of the lockout and wanted nothing to do with it. And I think, to me, that's the biggest reason it's not happening.
John Shannon?
I think that all that is accurate. Plus, I think that there are logistical issues that you get to a certain point, and when you start to have to create souvenirs that were supposed to be sold at all these venues, you know, if you can't guarantee yourself that the game is going to be played by this cutoff date, you're nuts to even try to run it. There were over 9,000 part-time employees that were going to be hired over that December-January time period. Don't you feel you have an obligation to give them a warning if they're not going to be hired? Therefore, you have to give them as much warning as possible. Hotels and logistics for fans. There were so many things. Everybody talked about the $250,000 deposit for the stadium.
It's a cheese sandwich.
This was $7 to $8 million of investment that no one in the commissioner's office or anywhere else could walk in and say, "Are you going to guarantee me we have a game January 1st?" And no one could say, "Well, we can't guarantee it." Well, then you know what? You have to put full stop, and you have to rethink, and you have to reschedule for next January 1st or January 2nd of 2014.
I guess a question that can't be answered by anybody in this panel, I don't think, is if they were to get an agreement, and we certainly don't anticipate that, let's say there's an agreement by the end of November.
There's no Winter Classic
still. Still none?
No.
Bob, I just don't understand how you could say to fans, "Psych, we're playing."
No,
and you're not trying to sell 20,000 tickets. You're trying to sell 120,000 tickets.
But this is
can't do that in 3 weeks.
This is a big machine. This event is bigger than the game itself.
I get that, but a lot of the machinery is already in place.
No, it isn't, Bob. It isn't already in place. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They needed to push the button.
All right, but let me readdress this. So, can you think of a reason why this game couldn't be played on February the 1st?
Yeah, I really do. I think by that point, if we have a season that over a shorter period of time, the value of 2 points in the season on the hockey operations side is too valuable to throw a game like this out there. I also think that the amount of time and effort over a short period of time for a regular season like that, the focus should be just getting games played on every night. And you're not going to be able to do it in a short period of time.
Well, not to mention if the season's shortened, the first thing that's going to go is
the All-Star
is interconference games.
And the All-Star game. Yeah. Right? I mean, all
games where you need a big window to play them. Well, like All-Star and that. Because you need two or three.
Priority is going to be playing within your division and within your conference.
Mike, right. You're absolutely right. That's one of the other issues that the discussions within the league office now are for potentially. I mean, there's always a sliding scale, sliding schedules. If there's a 68 to 70 game schedule, you're not going to get the perfect matchup every time for network television. You're not going to get a lot of interconference games. You're not going to get New York to Los Angeles. You're not. Rangers and Kings probably will not play next year, even though they were supposed to play this year.
The other thing I would argue, John, is the real value for the Winter Classic. I mean, people talk about how much money it makes for the league. Let's say the number is $10 million. That's a lot of money. But
I think it's more, but that's okay.
Sure. But whatever the number is, half of it goes to the players, and then it's shared among 30 teams. So it's not like each team is hanging on every nickel. The real value of the Winter Classic is the halo it puts around the sport.
Correct.
And so if with the amount of ill feeling that's out there, and is there a better way to demonstrate the amount of ill feeling where you've got a league and the players turning their back on 120,000 fans? So the amount of ill will out there, I would argue that once the league if the hockey does come back and you try and force the Winter Classic in there, it becomes an excuse to talk about what's wrong with the game and how the season's too compressed and the hockey's bad and the sandwiches don't taste good.
Oh, don't worry. Somebody will do that anyway.
I think you mentioned Mike Ilitch and his family, what they want this game to stand for. I don't think if you want it to be that special, you need to have a good feeling going in. You need to be able to, you can't cram it in and.
Well, you talk about the halo. The halo would have started already. I mean, yeah. If this had been a regular season, a normal season for the regular season, the promotion would have already started.
And
between the
sponsors
two
get their value.
The sponsors would have received their value. The sponsors of the event are Bridgestone and Sirius XM. We would have been inundated every day from this day forward with press releases about Bridgestone and Sirius XM. That stuff, they couldn't deliver. If they couldn't deliver everything, don't do it at all. Don't do it half-baked, particularly with this matchup in that building.
And you would have got your outside sports media, your business reporters would have been in on it. The breakfast televisions would have been in
what
on
a
it.
Great thing this is for downtown Detroit, having all these people in there. Yeah. That Bob, by the way, I just checked. February 1st is a Friday. That's the other thing there. You're asking people. The one great thing about New Year's Day is people can take the days off. It's easier to do it and come down and make their trip to Detroit for that game. You move it into February, people have to take time off work, not as easy. The romance for that isn't as simple.
Well, I didn't suggest it was perfect. I mean, if it was perfect, they would.
Well, I was just asking. I was trying to answer your question.
Well, February 1st was a theoretical date, Elliot. It had nothing to do with whether it was a Friday
a question,
or a Tuesday.
I like to service you with the proper answer.
But the other thing is,
I hate working alone.
There are other business partners. There are other business partners other than the sponsors. You know, the Ontario Hockey League had two games planned there. Yeah. The CCHA had the Great Lakes Invitational plan there. The American Hockey League. Dave Andrews and his group have a game that's already been moved because of today's issue. Has been moved to the 29th of December in Grand Rapids. Those types of things. All of that, it had to happen to give everybody full warning and full time to arrange other scheduling.
So nobody disputes the validity of this decision. Nobody here. I don't think anybody thinks that. I mean, I threw out the possibility of whether you could reschedule it and whether you can or you can't. I couldn't care less one way or the other. It was a decision that almost assuredly had to be made. If you're in the midst of this dispute, heretofore known as the lockout, which side is more impacted by this decision today, if any?
Well, I think they both lose.
This is the 50-50 split right here.
Yeah, because the players lose their share of the revenue from that game, which is significant. And, you know, I think there are people in Canada who poke fun at the Winter Classic, and that's fine. But when you get across the parallel and you see how much that game resonates with the American sporting audience. Aside from the playoffs, it's the biggest date in the U.S. on the hockey calendar. And it does attract an audience outside of your general hockey audience. So nobody wins out of this. This is bad for.
I'm not suggesting
sides.
There's a win here, Ali.
I'm saying it's equally bad.
I think there's one side loses more in terms of
What it sends to the two negotiating parties. I think the NHLPA probably is impacted a little more heavily because I think it's one more little point of leverage that they don't have. There was discussion that was sort of the theme of all this going. Back to the summer was while the Winter Classic, the league would never want to scupper the Winter Classic. And you'd hear the players thinking things along the lines, well, you know what? If we don't get the deal we want, let's say they want us back for the Winter Classic, we'll come back the day after. We're not going to be the monkeys in their circus.
Right.
Well, guess what? The league's canceled games. They've canceled 2 months of the season now, or 6 weeks. Now they've canceled the Winter Classic. The players, I'm sure, are sitting around going, Gary, serious.
Michael, I, as much as I totally agree with you, I would be shocked if any player didn't think they weren't serious before today. I know the players. The players have been told that the 82 game schedule was only possible if we had a resolution by now, and actually the season would have started tomorrow night.
Yeah. Tonight.
Because they believed in their own right that they could jam an 82 game schedule in by the 16th. Well, you know what? This is you don't want to be playing four games in 5 nights. You don't want to be playing hockey in July. And so when the league says this, and we need to get an 82 game schedule, or to run the Winter Classic, we're going to have to pick deadlines, artificial or not, for people to make decisions. They've given the Players Association the two deadlines. And have done exactly what they told them they would do. They would cancel things by certain dates.
Does it make Don Fehr look bad if he's been counseling them to,
Well, I certainly does. I don't think anybody can look good today. I think the league looks bad in doing it. It's too bad. It's really a shame. We all know the economic impact it's going to have on Detroit. Detroit, this was a big thing for Detroit.
Big loss for the city.
But I do think when Don comes out with statements like he did last week calling for artificial deadlines. There's no such thing as an artificial deadline when it comes to canceling 6 weeks of hockey.
Well, there's my point, John, is if indeed the internal dialogue or what they've been talking about within the PA has been, these deadlines are artificial. Well, the first one wasn't.
No.
The second one isn't.
Right.
This one's not. Maybe we better listen. Maybe he really means it when this is the best deal we can offer.
Because the thing I would say in Mike's defense is that I know there are players and people in the Players Association who believe that even though the games have been canceled up through November 30th, they could be reinstated. And I know that there are people who...
There's no chance, Elliot. I've been there. There's no chance.
I'm just saying that this is what people have said to me, okay? There are, and I've seen quotes about it publicly, saying that games could be reinstated. Now, okay.
Who quoted them? I'd like to know.
I think there were some of the reporters who covered the Blackhawks. Taves said that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, because the last time John Taves did the NHL schedule was when?
Okay. Anyway, as I was saying, people do believe this, all right? Now, the second thing is that there were players who believed up until today or yesterday, and even people in the Players Association, who felt that even though the Winter Classic got canceled, was going to be canceled, it could still either wait later or be reinstated. Now, John, I disagree with that. I'm not so sure about the end of November. I wonder if they got a deal, could they possibly reinstate a couple games? I don't know. To get the U.S. Thanksgiving TV game on? I don't know. But the Winter Classic, I'm with you. I believe that game is gone and done. So we're going to see. I mean, one thing we saw yesterday from the players is they had a conference call where they told their leadership, we want you guys to be negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see some of that. Does this change anything today? We'll find out.
Well, what I would suspect to your logic, like the schedule that we all got printed in the middle of August from the NHL or the middle of July of the NHL,
I didn't get one.
Well, you did, Bob. It just didn't open.
Gary was supposed to bring it to lunch.
I didn't get it. Gary didn't send it to me.
That schedule does not exist anymore. It's because of the logistic issues, the travel issues, the conference issues. Now, if they come to an agreement by next Thursday, may we be playing on the 23rd of November? Mm-hmm. Possibly, but it'll be a 68 or 78 game schedule that we haven't. We don't even know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know what it looks like. We don't know who the matchups are, and there may not be any There may not be an all-star game in that.
You're all. The hockey people are all a bunch of wimps. I mean, all you need is 40 days to play 82 games, 41 days. That's all you need.
Well, you played doubleheaders?
I went to doubleheaders at Maple Leaf Gardens when I was a kid.
They weren't always the same team playing.
No, they were never the same team, but it doesn't matter.
Actually, let's just play the whole season in one arena.
You start a game, you have a game at 1 and a game at 7, same
you
two
know what?
Teams.
Just a knockout tournament.
Well, no, if it was the NHL, of course, it wouldn't be a doubleheader. It'd be a day-night doubleheader because they want to get the double gate.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Start at 1, kick everybody out, play again at 7.
They're all a bunch of
But if you're a player now,
anyway.
are you not thinking you're looking down the barrel of a season gone? Like, has that become this much
you know
more
what?
A reality?
Depends how much money you earn. Honestly, I think it depends how much money you earn. If you're making $5 million or more, you're not as concerned. If you're making $1.2 million, you're going, where's my career going?
Here's what I'll tell you. I've talked to a few, and I mean few is a small number, of owners in the National Hockey League, and I've said this repeatedly before. The Hawks are starting to win the internal fight. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm saying the game has turned a fair bit inside the 30 owners. I talked to Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada earlier today. And
why would you do that?
Well, because
he's hockier than the owners.
I know.
He's a Hawk.
Well, he says that he's getting the exact same read. Are you, John? Now, I know your attachments tend to be more to the league.
I would like to think that when I do talk to people at the Players Association, I'm been fair. I think that the deal's
are
not
you getting
that far.
The sense that there are more Hawks out there than there have been before?
All I will say, because I don't think that that's, I mean, that's not a yes or no question. What I would tell you is
that I believe it was actually.
I will tell you right now, I think the owners as a group, as of November the 2nd, are more galvanized as a single group than I've seen them through this whole lockout situation.
Bob, I would say I wrote a blog this week where I named 8 teams that I think would cancel the season rather than get a bad deal. And I had an owner reach out to me and tell me I was being too conservative.
There's more than that.
Yeah. Now, when you're asking your question about the players, I believe the thing that most players think is this. If you give us something that we can sink our teeth into, we'd like to really seriously talk. That's what I think most players think. Give us something that we can really sink our teeth into.
The players think this?
Yes.
But Gary has said to them, that's the point, right? Gary said, no, what we gave you is what you're going to sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe
I gotta think,
goes the Winter Classic.
I got to think that I understand he's doing that, but I have to think. And that if reading between the lines and all of this, I really, and if you look back towards the basketball lockout and look at all the language, I believe that both sides have something that they haven't brought yet that they think could do it. And they're playing the game, the negotiating game, until they're ready to do it.
Are we surprised that, and I hesitate to say, the phrase I was going to use was that Don Fehr has led the Players Association down this road, but which sounds like it's a one-way street and he has made all the decisions here, and I don't for a second believe that to be true. But for lack of a better phrase, are we surprised that we are here in this place, given Don Fehr is running the Players Association? Don Fehr had 15, 17 years of peace, labor peace, with Major League Baseball before he came over. Is this surprising to you? On the day that Don Fehr was announced as the player, when he appointed himself, when he looked in the mirror and said, I found your new president, it's me, which is not unlike Beeston. Are you surprised we're here?
I'm not.
No.
So you thought Fehr was going to be a Hawk anyway?
Elliot and I have been on this very show, and we've agreed on the 23rd of November 1,000 times.
Okay.
The 23rd of November.
I am surprised because I'm newer to all this than both you guys, and as an outsider looking at it, it has never made sense and it never will make sense. Anything that's gained by either side by the end of this lockout won't be worth what it's cost. And I just am one of these people who thinks people make rational decisions. In this case, neither are, that I can see.
the break. Lots more to talk about when Primetime Sports continues. You're listening on the Fan Radio Network or watching on Sportsnet.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today.
Our primetime continues on the Fan Radio Network and on Sportsnet. Michael Grange, Elliot Friedman, John Shannon, I'm Bob McCowan. What a bizarre week of developments within the Canadian Hockey League. Earlier this week, David Branch was a guest on this program, and we talked about, before all hell broke loose, and we talked about where the league was with relationship to the players, the proposed Players Association, and how, well, they hadn't had a meeting with them, and why hadn't they agreed to meet with them, and a lawsuit had been, or a threat of a lawsuit, I think more accurately, had been delivered to all of the teams and the individual leagues. You know, either you meet these criteria establishing the junior hockey players as employees under the laws of the different provinces in the country for minimum wage, et cetera, or we're going to file a lawsuit against you. And Mr. Branch was on, and we addressed these topics with him, and within hours after that, there came a story of an allegation that someone associated with this mysterious Players Association was not actually who he purported to be. Then we find out that while there may be two people who are involved in this story, one is actually the guy and somebody else is pretending to be the guy. Then we find out that George Larocque, who's allegedly the ringleader or president or self-anointed, by the way, I think.
I don't think he was self-anointed. I think they came after him.
Who's they?
Gumbly Clark slash whatever they are.
Yeah.
Who they?
Well, I think you're asking the very question that the CHL's been asking
nobody
all
knows
along.
The answer to
well,
that
I'm
question.
Saying, I, you know, as far as I know, nobody appointed him. I don't remember seeing a news release about the vote that was taking place and who conducted the vote and who actually did the voting for George Larocque. I think he was self-appointed, well, which is fine with me. I mean, I'm the self-appointed host of this program.
Yeah, we didn't vote.
He wasn't self-appointed.
And don't expect to vote anytime soon. This is not a democracy.
I'm well aware.
You may live in one outside of this room.
Actually,
in
Bob,
here, no such animal.
Actually, Bob, at my house, I don't live in a democracy either. So
yes, who we does? Know that. You're about to say, Mr. Grange?
Well, I was about to.
Or did you forget?
No, I was about to say, I don't think you're right. In fact, you're not right about the Larocque thing. He was approached by the people,
Mr. X.
The people we don't know who are behind the CHLPA. And
well,
he
who's
agreed
that?
To. There's two guys named Clark.
Yeah. Two guys named Gumbly.
And two guys named Gumbly.
Well, is there.
One of the Gumblys has a track record as a bad dude.
Well, why would he. And he approached Larocque? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know that.
Well, but you're saying you know something, but then you say you don't know anything.
I'm just going by what George Larocque has said.
What has George Larocque said? One minute he says, I've seen the guy's picture. Yeah, that's that guy. And then 5 minutes later says, I've never seen him before.
It's his brother.
Listen, we know it's a soap opera.
What the bleep is going
Bob,
on?
Bob, we know it's a soap opera. It's been a soap opera for the
all
particular.
All this over whether he's self-appointed. In any event, whoever appointed George Larocque, he's now out. He's quit. And the whole thing, as far as I can tell, has, well, the House of Cards has come falling down.
Yes.
There is no CHLPA.
That's an insult to a House of Cards.
I apologize. Is there a PA?
They're still tweeting and claiming that they are still going forward with.
Wait,
us.
Who they?
Nobody knows.
But up to the minute, they did not approach and have a vote with the Quebec junior team in Cape Breton. They in fact went to the Nova Scotia Labor Board and asked for the the labor vote, the labor board to remove any withdraw the applications. Thank you, Michael. So, I mean, for every half step forward, there appears to be like six steps back.
Well, we know there was a law firm or maybe
there was
a couple of law firms.
There was three.
Two backed out yesterday.
Another one today.
So the law firms are all gone, too. Couldn't the law firms have been orchestrating a lot of this stuff? We know that they sent out the cease and desist letter.
Maybe the owner, the leader of the CHLPA is John Spano. You know,
or Boots Del Biagio.
Del Biagio. You know, Bob,
would you like to go down the long list of Gary Bettman's pals and chums?
Now, hold on.
Serving time.
Don't bring you drag Gary through the mud at the most decent times.
I never met Boots Del Biagio, but apparently he has.
Don't drag Gary through the CHLPA story. Come on now.
If you really believe that the CHLPA needs to address some of these issues, it's been set back 10,000 million years.
Well, the only argument against
an official number?
Yes.
The only argument against what you're saying is the issues themselves, the fact that they've been dragged into the spotlight. And I think a lot of people, reasonable people, would look at some of the conditions attached to the educational packages and some of the stipends. People who don't normally think about this stuff. Now, if you're David Branch, who's about as progressive as you get in
Absolutely.
Hockey circles,
yeah.
Now he in a way, he kind of has a little bit of ammunition. He can go to his member clubs and say, look, this is what's out there. The guy, we dodged a bullet here. Right, I mean the people
right.
the people who took on this cause were idiots. Thankful to us, they imploded without us having to lift a finger. But these issues aren't going to go away, and they've been given an airing out in a way that never would have happened otherwise.
But you know what's interesting, Mike? Is last week when
and I would say just to finish, I think that makes it easier for David Branch if he's a guy who says, "Look, we shouldn't be paying these guys $35 a week. What's wrong with $100 a week? Why don't we give them 2 years or 30 months
to exercise
their education package? Why 18 months?
Last week he was on the show, and one of the questions we asked him was about the 18 months, and his answer was that the parents support the 18 months. Now, I don't know if that was just an answer for us or that might change in the future.
Because it forces the kid to make a decision.
Because it forces the kid to make a decision. But I do think you're right. If the CHL does want to address any of it, they have a tremendous opportunity. But if you think there's going to be a union and you really believe there should be a union, I don't see how you have a chance of doing that now.
I don't think you could ever have a union because I don't know if there's enough money in it. And I don't see people are trying to make a profit, but I don't know. To have a union, you need people who can pay union dues. Who's going to pay your union dues?
Right.
You need people who have a vested interest in the union existing. Who's going to do that when you've got a rotating workforce?
And more importantly, that's you know, 2 weeks of your per diem down the tube to pay your union dues.
Well, yeah, and we should clarify that the allegation is that the association, whatever it was asking $60
a player
per player for union dues. Now, if you do the math, times 1,400 players, which is pretty much what they have, that's $84,000. Now,
that runs nothing.
Even if you if everybody is a volunteer, your out of pocket expenses are going to exceed that. I guarantee those three legal firms were expecting to get paid.
Well, was George Laroque.
I don't think that was a pro bono thing.
I think the plan was they were going to have a fee on every ticket sold that would go to the union and these kinds of things. I think they had other plans than that. But what...
But wait a sec. In essence, what happens there is that's just, we're going to create something that is going to allow us to have a job.
Correct. Yeah. It was a make-work project.
Yeah, that's really what happens here. And that every dollar that's sucked out of the system in order to pay for the association can't possibly be turned back to the place where it is assumed to be needed, and that is the kids, if you buy into that philosophy.
And so the question is, though, is do the athletes, do their parents, do they need some sort of third-party representation, somebody outside beyond agents?
But I like that. I like the idea of third-party representation. Maybe it's just not in the form of an association or union. Maybe what the CHL should do is offer to fund a third party who can be there to resolve disputes, kind of an arbiter, resolve disputes, provide independent counsel in the event that players don't feel that if they have issues, whether it's with their billets or with their team or the way they're treated or blah, 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 maybe they don't feel comfortable in pursuing a matter internally, so they want to go to somebody independent.
Should hockey players at age 16 to 20, do they deserve something more than food, shelter, a stick budget, and an education package?
Devil's advocate.
Do they deserve a voice? That's what it comes down to.
I'll tell you what. At 16 and 17, those players' advocates should be their parents more than anybody.
Agreed.
I mean, that.
Yeah, but the parents are absent half the time.
But who advocates for
the
parents?
That's the problem.
Right? Like, who is their resource?
The parents
resource?
Can only be an advocate if they know what's going on with the kid.
And the other key thing in all this is, let's remember that what we're talking about, we're not talking about the stars of junior hockey. Because the stars of junior hockey are already represented.
A lot of those kids have agents already.
So what we're talking about.
A lot of them are getting paid under the table, too.
And,
some of them are, depending on where you play.
What we're talking about is players who aren't going to play pro hockey or are going to be on the fringe of pro hockey. And how can they be protected? So your point is, it's the 18, 19, and even the 20-year-old players who are staying a long time in junior hockey, praying for that one opportunity to make the East Coast League team or go to Europe. And how do they get better protection?
Or even as simple as you play your 4 or 5 years of junior, you want to experience pro hockey. You've been training and living as a pro hockey player to reach a goal. And so do you realistically think that if you've been a third liner at age 20 in the OHL, you're going to play in the NHL? Probably not. But would you like to have the chance to play pro hockey? Say you play pro hockey. Give it a couple of years. Well,
yeah,
why not?
Somewhere.
But the
right.
risk, you run the risk of losing your scholarship.
If you want to do it more than 1 year,
right,
your educational package goes poof.
I think that there's one thing I think should need to be said is that if I was a parent, I would feel a little bit better about the Canadian Hockey League today, because there were some people who were asking to meet kids outside of hotels, sure, and say
in parking lots
and say sign this,
and they wouldn't say who they were,
and they wouldn't give a last name, and the Canadian Hockey League came out and said, we're going to hire a private investigator and we're going to find out about these guys. None of these stories get done this week by anybody without the Canadian Hockey League going out and finding this out themselves. I would feel better about that as a parent.
Yeah, I do. I think that is important. It could be argued, though, that much of the motivation for those actions was self-serving.
Whatever.
And
it got done.
Absent the presence of a threatening force like the CHLPA, which was a threatening force, would the individual clubs take similar action?
I think now, Bob, if some guy was going up to players and in parking lots and like that, I think they would have.
I like your point, Elliot. I really do think that this probably gives David and Gilles Courteau and Ron Robison, the three commissioners of the leagues, an opportunity to go back to the drivers and say, hey, listen, let's do what we can for the players, the best that we can for the players, and feel comfortable that we can stop this before it actually occurs again, in trying to make players feel that they're not being taken advantage of. Now, I'm biased. I like Dave Branch. I've worked for Dave Branch. I think he's as stand up a person in the game of hockey, period, whatever league.
I have the same bias.
And I do think, in knowing what I know, what he's tried to do on other issues like fighting, like concussions, like depression, that these people do have the best interests of players in the long. And maybe this is just a good wake-up call for them to say, hey, we always have to be ahead of the curve.
The break and primetime will continue. You're listening on the Fan Radio Network or watching on Sportsnet.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And, like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today.
All right, before we dot another I, Bob Cratchit, we have some Jesus, this isn't breaking news,
no,
is it?
No, it's not, really.
But there is some news being circulated about the war between the Players Association and the National Hockey League.
What we can confirm, and Elliot and Michael have the same information, is that the owners have gone to the Players Association and agreed somehow, some way, to make the players who are under contract, 60% of the players who are supposed to play next year, whole. Somehow, some way, but there are still a lot of asterisks and qualifiers.
Basically, what that means is whatever your salary you lose as coming down from 57 to 50, they will find a way to refund to you.
Right.
And it won't. And the problem with the last proposal was it came out of the player's own share of money.
Now it's coming out of the
league is
side.
Saying it will come from theirs. But
so the 60-
well, except Bob, I mean, listen, it sounds like that the players would have to agree to a lot of the requirements under the league's last offer, or even worse, because the league's last offer is now off the tail. But we're talking 5-year contracts, average
7.5% raises.
The players will still be asked to kiss the ring.
Oh yeah.
Doing is saying for the 60% of the NHL players who actually have contracts,
right,
they'll get that money.
Well, and I mean, there are lots of
somehow, sometime.
There are lots of people that have said that the 60% of the players actually threw the 40% who didn't have contracts under the bus in the last month or so in order just to get their money.
Somebody's always throwing somebody under the bus.
Usually it's you.
Getting thrown under the bus, exactly.
Oh.
Bob drives over you
and then
he
backs up
to make sure he didn't miss anything.
You know, you do that once or twice and everybody thinks you do it all the time, you know? We have perilously little time. I've been trying for about 2.5 hours to get to this topic and I things keep happening. Mm-hmm. First the New York Marathon, now the resolution of the hockey dispute, which...
It's not solved. But that will be a step. Okay. That's a big step.
Yeah, you're right. It's not solved.
They're still not agreed to talk,
They haven't agreed to talk yet.
It's a step.
Free agency opens tomorrow for the Toronto Blue Jays. And here's my puzzlement in 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes. If I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, I have an expectation of what my team is going to do or try and do or has the ability to do. If I'm a New York Yankee fan, a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, if I'm a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, I'm not sitting here wondering whether they're going to go try and sign Greinke or any other high price. I know what they are. What the bleep is this organization? What the bleep is the Toronto Blue Jays organization? Who are these people? How much do they have to spend? What is their game plan? Are they in it? Are they not in it? I have no clue anymore. What the bleep is going on with these people?
Curious tonight to see if they're going to have any interest in Dan Heron. The Angel.
That's what you answer him with that? He gives you that and you give him that?
Yeah, because I think that could answer a question.
They need a lefty reliever.
He's a righty starter.
Yeah,
it makes $15
million. 1 year left, $13.3 million. Just came off a rough year.
Perfect.
But has a decent history of success, and the Angels want to trade him by midnight tonight.
You know what I was going to do, Elliot?
What?
I was going to say, Bob, that is a great crystallization of the Blue Jays.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to answer the question with fact.
You waited to say that?
No, that's it.
Here's the answer, Bob.
The point is, you're going to kiss Bob's ring.
I'm trying to give info.
Do you know
what they're doing?
No.
Are they going to spend $50 million on free agents?
Well, here's the thing, $105.
Listen, Bob, here's the thing. We know they can if they want to. And the question then becomes, Paul Beeston, Alex Anthopoulos, and the manager fill in the blank, do they want to? And is this that summer that we said, that everybody said was last year, or winter that said was last year? You know, go get that starter. Go get the big hitter.
It made more sense last year because they seemed closer.
It didn't make any sense because look who was managing. He didn't even want to be here.
They didn't know that then.
Yes, they did. They knew that.
They knew it last year.
Sure they did.
He went to them last year.
They believed him.
No, come on.
He said to them last year that he had an interest in going to Boston. And they said, screw off. You're the manager here.
We're
going to
make you stay here whether you don't like it or not.
Then he reiterated that position this year and they went, okay, we'll go.
I don't even care
about the Farrell stuff. Let's not get into the Farrell stuff. He is yesterday's newspaper. I don't think he was that good anyway. I hadn't quite figured it out, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to turn the Boston Red Sox around. What's going to turn the Boston Red Sox around is if they spend a crap load of money and reload that baseball team.
They have a lot.
Which is exactly what the Toronto Blue Jays fans, at least, are hopeful that the Blue Jays will do. Why can't they stand up and say, we're not going to do that. We have a budget. We're a small market team. We can only spend $80 million or whatever the hell.
They're not a small market team.
I didn't say they were. I said they'd say that. And our revenues are this. And I have no bleeping idea who these people are or what they're planning on doing or what they're doing upstairs in this corporation. I don't know whether they're in it to make money or they're in it to win the championship. I certainly don't see any evidence of them showing any ability to win a championship. Why do they have? Why does Beeston have to go to Nadir Muhammad and ask for the money? Why can't Nadir Muhammad come down and say, here's the money, go spend it?
I literally have nothing to add.
We started on this in this, what are the Blue Jays going to do in free agency? And I started down the path that we go all the time. Let's list the names. Let's talk Josh Hamilton. Is there a chance? And then you get to, but I have no idea what this organization is planning. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how much money they have to spend. Don't know who these people are.
You weren't in that business planning session? I mean, everybody's got a business plan. Beeston will have a business plan. You just don't know what it is.
No, but what's happened is this: at some point, the flip was supposed to turn. Like a year ago, they were builders, they were drafters, they were, you know, high-priced Dominican talent finders.
What are they now?
And it hasn't worked.
But they don't tell anybody what they are.
They told everybody that.
No, they never tell you what their plan is. If you're a Blue Jay fan now, that's probably the most frustrating thing.
Why is that the
you
big
never
state
know.
Secret?
I don't know.
I'm not asking who you're going to sign. I'm going to ask, are you going to sign anybody? Are you going to do anything? Are you going to spend any money? Do you need a couple of bucks? I got some extra cash.
Nadir Muhammad, line 2.
Thank you. I'll get it. Hang on. See you Monday.